7 minutes after nine, we say good morning and welcome in to Owen Grant. Owen is the project manager of North Wind and Power. Good morning to you, Owen. How are you?
Pretty well. Thank you, Mike. Good morning to you, and thank you for having us on.
You can pull that right close if you wanted to. This has got to be a banner year for wind projects, because we've had wind, it seems like, pretty much every day here for the past, I don't know, 3-4 months anyway, blowing snow the whole bit.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty windy these days, for
so,
sure.
And actually, can you kind of qualify that as far as this area goes? Do we see more wind than the rest of the country? Because this seems like a very desirable area all of a sudden for wind projects. There seems to be a lot of interest in putting wind, do we call them turbines? Is that the proper term?
Wind turbines, sure.
Okay, throughout the area. We have them in Madison. You see them in Stockbridge. Of course, there's a huge wind farm in Fenner and now up north and in the Thousand Islands. So is this area of the Northeast more favorable for wind?
I think it can be.
Okay.
You know, I think wind is certainly a very important component that you need for a wind energy project, right?
Well, absolutely, sure.
But you also need transmission and a receptive environment and I would say political will also. And the state of New York has a desire to have 30% of its electricity from renewable sources by 2015. So, you know, we've gone a good ways towards meeting that goal. And really that comes with wind projects, because it's a viable alternative energy resource. And that's really why, you know, why you see projects going up in addition to the strong resource.
Right.
So, you know, you have in Herkimer County, you have a project that was built and just completed this year in the towns of Fairfield and Norway. So for sure, the industry continues to grow in this area.
How many turbines are there in the new one in the Herkimer County?
I believe there's 37 turbines.
Okay, so that's pretty good size. What is the difference between what we call it a community scale? Is there a community scale, and what would be the other scale of wind farms?
Well, we say community scale in that we look at projects that are sized to serve
to fit into the
surrounding communities.
Right.
So our projects, we say 8 to 12 turbines would generate enough electricity for approximately 7,000 homes. And if you look at the surrounding area, how many homes that might be, you're looking at really about a 15-mile radius. So when we say community scale, we're looking to serve the area might be impacted, if you will, in terms of.
Now, I actually live across from the Madison Wind Farm, which was the first wind farm in New York State, by the way, the one on the hill in Madison. And I had read at one point that the power from that was being delivered to New Jersey. With the wind farms that are going up today, are they serving local communities? Or is the power going to the grid? What happens with the power that's generated by today's wind turbines?
Well, even though we're developing community scale projects, really we can't sell power directly to consumers. So
really,
the way that works is our power would go onto the grid. In our case, and part of the community scale model is to use the medium voltage transmission system, which feeds the surrounding communities. So you know, it's slightly different than it would be if you were connecting, for example, to a high voltage transmission line.
Okay.
But to answer your question, I mean, the power does go onto the grid.
Because I've tried several times to actually run an extension cord up to the windmills, and it's
probably discouraged.
Yeah, see if I could tap into it. But
right. So you know, what we're looking to do is you know, have projects that serve the surrounding communities and bring some local benefits.
Right.
You know, certainly, we believe that projects that come in and increase the tax base provide benefits to on an annual basis to the towns, to the schools. You know, we're in an environment where school aid is being cut. I know that local school boards here probably have meetings today actually to discuss additional cuts on top of cuts from last year. So, you know, look, there's no silver bullet to get us out of this economic doldrums here, but we believe that these projects and bringing money into the community on an annual basis, generating clean renewable energy, helping the state meet its renewable electricity goals, is a good step in the right direction.
Well, let's break those down a little bit. And in this ad, which I don't know, appears to be maybe not a half but quarter page ad, and I'm not sure if it apparently it ran in the New York Times. as well as the Herkimer Telegram. Have you seen this one? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This really speaks to your cause pretty well. Proposed New York State 2011-2012 budget would reduce school aid spending by $1.54 billion the coming school year. Mount Markham school budget has 15 layoffs, blah, 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 and so on and so on. Kind of paints the picture of what the budget has to offer us for this year. Now, it goes on to say, in a quote from the treasurer of Madison Central Schools, that they receive $100,000 annually from wind energy. There's some real money right there. Now, granted, $100,000 probably isn't going to balance the budget and bring back sports programs and things of that sort, but, hey, it doesn't hurt.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that, Ms. Fruyer was, she spoke about every bit helps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're in an environment where you have to lay people off or cut programs, really what makes schools great is you know, everything beyond the three R's, right? So, you know, when you have sports programs, music, the arts, you know, they're often the first to go. So in some cases, not having to cut programs is a tremendous benefit to mm-hmm. these communities, and you hear that in really in every area where you have an operating project, and quite frankly, you know, the experience has been overwhelmingly positive. And you look at areas in Clinton County, for example, there are three communities that haven't had tax increases of the magnitude of the surrounding communities, and those are areas where there are wind projects, and mm-hmm. those communities, you know, the case of Ellenburg is clamoring to have more turbines, more projects. And if the experience wasn't positive, you know, that wouldn't be the reality. So, you know, it's certainly there's talk and there's, I think people are concerned. Maybe they don't really know what it's like. But when you look at communities that actually have projects, the experience has been very positive. And we want to, you know, bring that. We're working, as you mentioned, in several communities in upstate New York, and we're hoping that, you know, Litchfield can realize some of those benefits that a project would bring.
What's the status of Litchfield right now? Are they studying just to try to figure out exactly what the community wants? Where do the town fathers of Litchfield stand with this?
That's a good question. Right now the town of Litchfield is coming together to come up with a law and to regulate wind energy.
Right.
In fact, this evening there's a public hearing on whether to extend a moratorium mm-hmm. for 12 months. So they've already had a moratorium to discuss coming up with a law for 18 months, and now there's a public hearing this evening at 7:30 at the Litchfield Town Barn on 804 Cedarville Road in Ilion.
Okay, and will you be there at that?
Yeah, I will be there.
Okay,
sure.
All right. So here's one of the knocks against what do we call wind farms or wind projects? Is there either or works?
You can pick. Yeah.
Well, I guess the one knock that I hear pretty consistently, and I'm not sure how valid it even is, but the fact that once the wind farm is constructed, and granted, it provides a lot of jobs during the construction process, everywhere from trucking in, you know, materials to the actual construction. But once the construction is done, the farm is up and operational. They're really all the long term jobs for the most part have gone, and it's just a question of maybe a couple engineers, maybe somebody to fix the wind turbines when they go down. But as far as long term employment on a grand scale, that they really don't provide that.
Yeah. I think certainly the as far as ongoing jobs go, mm-hmm. you're more likely to see those in operations and maintenance. But, you know, I would challenge anyone that would say, you know, well, they're only construction jobs, mm-hmm. or, you know, they're mostly construction jobs.
Right.
And to me, construction is an important part of the economy, and in an area where, you know, you're looking to create jobs, and there are people from the communities that we're working in that have worked on other projects, for example, the Herkimer project, that live in the towns mm-hmm. that we work in. So, you know, I think certainly to those people, those are important. And you know, furthermore, you look at using local vendors, not just in the construction, but during the development, and you look at companies, for example, PLC Trenching in Clinton is a business that has expanded its operations exponentially as a result of working in the wind industry. So, you know, they hire a few more people, and those are ongoing jobs as well. So as this industry grows, there's more and more jobs in a variety of different areas that that go into making a project a reality.
Okay. Let's talk about actual physical location of wind turbines. How far away do they have to be from residential structures, a.k.a. houses, you know, businesses, things of that sort? Is there any set distance as defined by law?
That's a good question. So in New York, we have, for better or worse, we have what's called home rule. So the local municipalities come together and mm-hmm. try to come up with their own laws.
Okay.
Which, you know, generally is a very positive thing. So in some cases, the towns may say they may set requirements that are 1,000 feet or 1,200 feet. And, you know, in Litchfield, they're still discussing this. So what we are looking to do is to put one of the reasons, quite frankly, that we were attracted to Litchfield, in addition to a very strong wind resource, is the opportunity to site turbines well beyond the distance required from other laws. So, you know, that's something that I think often gets lost, is that, you know, the further from homes, you know, the better you are. And this is a very, very appealing site from that perspective.
What's the biggest wind farm in the state right now in numbers of wind turbines?
That would be the Maple Ridge wind farm in up on Tug Hill.
Okay, and how many wind turbines is it, roughly?
195.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That would blow your car right off the road, all those things spinning.
Well, I think the wind might blow your car off the road.
I often make the joke,
the turbines would.
When people ask me how I like the wind turbines across the street from me, I'll tell them that I have to keep my windows closed in the summertime because if I don't, it blows all the magazines off the table. And people actually believe me. They buy into it. Let's clear up a couple of things.
People believe a lot of things.
They do believe a lot of things, yeah. And that's why you're here today, to try to kind of clear some of that up.
I appreciate you saying that because, you know, what we find is, the more people learn the actual facts, the more supportive they are. So it's a great opportunity to get the message out.
I've heard from more than one people that the frequency transmitted by the wind turbines is a repellent for wildlife and birds and deer and things of that sort. I personally can speak that that's not true because I probably have the largest deer population in the state right across from me, and they graze under the wind turbines on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, that's right, and you know, I think the primary landowner at the project that you speak of, he wrote a poem about how people thought that the deer would be spooked. And, you know, I mean, I think that's a common misperception, is that wildlife are spooked. And you know, certainly if hunting were threatened as a result of wind projects, you wouldn't have any wind projects in upstate New York, right? You know, so That really hasn't been the experience, and I think that's just one example of the perception not really matching the reality.
So as project manager for North Wind and Power, what exactly is it that you do, Grant? Other than come on my radio show and talk about it.
Yeah, no, so you know, I'm responsible for keeping an eye on all the different elements that goes into developing a project. So, you know, whether it's ideally, we're working to obtain permits. In the case of Litchfield, we are waiting for a town law so that we can finalize our layout and continue our studies and hopefully make an application if everything is in line. So, you know, I think it's sort of keeping an eye on all the different components that go into a project and making sure we're on track so that when we have an opportunity, we'll be ready.
So tonight's meeting in Litchfield, that's a public meeting, and if so, are you going to be open for questions there?
You know, I would leave you my contact information. If anybody is interested in getting a hold of me, they can send me an email at owen.grant@northwindandpower.com. You know, happy to answer any questions.
All right, Owen Grant, thank you very much for coming in. Did we miss anything? But is there anything that you'd like to add?
I would say that these projects can, they're not a cure-all, and nobody is saying that they're a cure-all, but bringing money to the schools, bringing money to the town, bringing some jobs, generating clean, renewable energy, these are all steps in a good direction. So, you know, we're hoping that Litchfield could be one of the communities that realizes these benefits, because there is a strong wind resource in upstate New York. As you said, there is a desire to have these projects, and you are going to see more and more turbines. So thank you.
It is Owen Grant, project manager for North Wind and Power, 21 minutes after 9, B95.5 FM.